All right, the Audible is on the air. It's Friday afternoon. Mini camp is over. The players are out on vacation time. Coaches are gone. But I'm still here.
Why are we here,
Bo? John Kajemi's still here.
We're workers,
I was trying
huh?
to, I was thinking that myself. How come we're still here?
I don't know. We got the short end.
I snuck out of some shows last week.
Thanks, bro.
So
I appreciate it.
I dropped that in your lap.
You know what?
No, John. When you go on vacation, don't worry. I'll take care of it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Joe must have found a bubble to play tennis in today.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not here either.
No, he's a fixture on Fridays.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of expected to see Joe in there. And they said, Joe's not coming. I said, must be.
He's not playing golf. He's playing tennis.
No, even if he's playing golf, he's not playing golf. No.
They call it a different, different name.
That's right. He calls it Wayne Gretzky golf.
That's right.
When he's playing. So, John, as I said, players are gone. Last mini camp day was yesterday. They're all gone. The coaches will take the better part of the next 6 weeks off. They'll come to training camp. I'm not sure the date, July.
I think it's the 26th.
26th, 7th. Yes, right around there. So they'll get started. So they'll come back in before that. And the tough thing for me with this 6 week, it seems a little ass backwards, to be honest with you, from the standpoint of you go through this off season conditioning
program, you're ready to roll,
and you get everyone at their peak condition, and then you take 6 weeks off.
I know it.
It seems to me like you should take that 6 weeks off in the middle, get yourselves in peak condition, and roll into camp.
I think it would be kind of nice for the guys to continue what they've done because they're building momentum. They're into the playbook.
Yeah.
They've installed a bunch of stuff offensively, defensively, and on special teams. And I remember way back when you were playing or Danny was playing or we were doing our training camps, you kind of rolled in with some momentum. And it's cognizant on the guys that they have to kind of stay in shape. Yeah. It's just not like 5 weeks where they go lay on the couch and hang out. You know, they can take a couple of weeks and kind of slowly ramp back up again. But these guys have to come back in shape, ready to go. Not that they're going to, be out of shape, but it's a different type of mentality when you take some time off.
Yeah.
It's tougher to get back going, and you're closer to training camp.
Well, and you look, most of these guys took a little bit of time off once the season was over, and then they started their off-season conditioning program. If I'm not incorrect, I think it was like March. They kind of come in, and they kind of start working out on their own, and then the official stuff starts a little bit after that. So it's not like they took a lot of time off. And I think, look, it's not just the Dolphins. I think every organization in the National Football League right now, if you're a coaching staff, if you're a general manager,
it's a ghost
team
town.
President, any of those things, you're sitting there going, man, I just hope our guys do the right thing, don't get in trouble, and maintain at least some of this conditioning they've put in. Because, you can get out of shape pretty quickly over a 6 week period if you don't maintain. There's always somebody that kind of comes in a little bit, and they're huffing and puffing the first couple of days. So it's a little strange to me, but hey, that's – I guess you follow up with the same thing. It's the same for every team.
Yeah.
Every team does the same thing. Every team works out as much. Every team takes their time off at about the same time. And so every team deals with whatever may arise between now and the time training camp begins.
Well, I think it's in shape and it's in football shape. I think there's a big difference for certain guys.
Yeah.
You take offensive linemen, you take wide receivers. I think wide receivers, defensive backs, they're going to be in shape. Linebackers are going to be in shape.
Yeah.
But when you get some of the offensive line, defensive line, it's about being in football shape, about being able to go 30, 40 plays in a row or whatever they need to do to get themselves ready for the preseason and get themselves ready, more importantly, for the regular season. So I think those are the guys that, your Jordan Phillips of the world, your Mike Pouncey's who's been out.
Right.
The entire off season. How do they manage themselves? Number one, in Phillips's case, be ready to jump right back in, and for Mike's case, to try to ease back in so he can get ready and pace himself for the regular season.
It's usually the guys that you worry about are the big guys because they have the tendency to kind of lose track a little bit and put on a few extra pounds or whatever. But I just think this team looking at it, and look, they've been doing this is the way their career has been. They're used to this type of situation, so they know what they've got to do. In fact, I had Armando Salguero on Wednesday, and we're talking about Ndamukong Suh. He said, look, I'm going to take off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday begins the toughest part
of his
conditioning.
Yeah.
He goes through, I guess that last month, he goes through his deal at a very high intensity, a very high level, and comes in. And I'm sure everybody has something built into their program to get them where they need to be there. And guys just have to be disciplined enough to go out and do it on their own.
And the biggest thing is, Bo, it was hot for May. It was hot for June for South Florida, but there was a lot of rain, a little bit of cooler. That August heat is something different. And that gets you your attention if you're not in shape. So I think the guys kind of realize that. I think the older guys probably have talked to some of the younger guys like McMillan at linebacker to, hey, get ready. It was hot, but it's going to get a little bit more humid and a little bit more steamier when you come back for training camp. And that's when, you know, the pressure of what you're trying to do kind of focuses in. So I think you mentally get through that, but physically you have to be ready as well.
You know, John, one other thing that the Dolphins announced earlier this week, or I think it was Philadelphia actually announced it, that they will go up and practice in Philadelphia.
That's right.
Third preseason game, third game of of that schedule, which is always the game where you get the veterans playing as much football as they're going to play in a game in the preseason. But they'll also go up there for 4 days and they'll practice with them.
That's right.
For two or three days. The last time we did that a couple years ago up in Carolina.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting. I like those workouts myself. You know, I'm kind of in that camp where people are saying, hey, let's cut the preseason down to two games and have the and my thought would be, look, I'm fine with that. Cut them down to two games and have those practices with those teams before so you can get that work in and get going. But that the rest of that stuff all falls into the collective bargaining and everything like that. But I like when you and as a player, I liked it because you kind of get out of the training camp, especially if you travel somewhere, get different scenery, you're playing against different guys, and you kind of refreshes you and give yourself a little shot of something to do there.
Well, the good thing is it's game three, so you're going to have an entire work week with your veterans, getting a lot of reps against Philadelphia's veterans.
Yep.
And, you know, you're going to have some practices where you have some contact with the offensive line, but it isn't going to be scrimmages. It's going to be higher tempo. Yep. It'll be different things that you're looking at offensively and defensively. But I think that bodes well for the veterans. They're going to probably play the better part of 2.5 to 3 quarters.
Yep.
So it gets them going against ones from a different color jersey. And it gets them seeing different schemes and different blitzes and different special team setups or whatever you can see in those 2 or 3 days that prepares you for playing an extended period in that preseason game number three.
Yeah, the one thing about those practices, I mean, you can watch the practice. Look, the practices, when you practice with your own team, are intense. But when you move to another team, the intensity ratchets up another notch or two when you get into those.
Well, it's a little different when you're talking some crap to some guy on your own team and he's heard it for 100 days in a row.
Exactly,
and then you hear it coming from another voice in another colored helmet.
Right.
Kind of gets your attention a little bit. Yeah,
I can recall we went up to Suwannee when the Atlanta – I don't know if Atlanta's still practicing in Suwannee, but we went up to Suwannee where their training camp was 1 year. And it was the year Dwight Stevenson was here. And, you know, it was the year that Tony Casillas was drafted. I think he was either the first or second pick.
I got this under my chin from Tony at Oklahoma,
All right, he was the first or second pick in the draft out of Oklahoma, nose tackle in Oklahoma. And so he's lining up against Dwight Stevenson. First, and look, I'd seen enough of Dwight to know what was coming here.
Yeah.
You know, Dwight, whenever we go against a rookie, Dwight, maybe the greatest player at any position I've watched. He had a knack for snapping the ball, and almost while he was snapping it, he kind of hopped back a little bit to give himself a little, and he'd have enough to get his arms up, and he'd get his arms on top of the guy, push him down on the ground, and hold him down on the ground. Guys would be flopping around down there trying, and Dwight would just be holding him down, you know? So I'd seen him do it, you know, he did it to every rookie that came in. And he, by the way, he could do it to an all-pro if he wanted to. I mean, so we go out there and everyone's talking about Tony Casillas this, Tony Casillas that, and, you know, getting the paper, hey, Tony Casillas versus Dwight Stevenson, blah, 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 this whole thing. So, sure enough, we go to one-on-one pass rushing drills. And the first time, there comes Dwight, here comes Tony, right? So Dwight, the same thing, snaps the ball, hops back, gets his hands on him, pushes him down to the ground. Tony's like laying there with his face in the dirt.
Turtle.
Like a turtle. And just to add insult to injury, Dwight's got him down. He takes his other hand. It's one-on-one now. He takes his other hand and like stands out like there's a safety.
Somebody coming.
Like there's a safety coming or something, you know? And he's just looking around and we're just sitting there laughing our ass off. He did it to Tony again. He did it to Tony during a 11-on-11 and Tony started crying and walked off the field. It was the damnedest thing I'd ever seen. Man.
Like you said, it probably wasn't the first time. It wasn't the last time you saw that either.
No. It was amazing. But, you know, you get those kind of things when you go out and you play someone else. Like I said, the intensity.
It does.
And it's that, you know, you get.
Competition.
Their best guy gets best guy, and it brings out the best in everybody.
And it carries over to the preseason game.
Yeah, it didn't bring out the best in him so much.
He was 0-for-3, it sounded like.
I think Dwight was getting back for you a little.
Yeah, thank you, Dwight. I appreciate it.
There you go. Hey, one other thing I got to get to here. Yesterday, the last practice, you know, Stephen Ross is you know, he's gone out and created his Rise Foundation, all about equality and giving inclusiveness and all this. And he really done a great job with it throughout the league. Well, on Thursday now, they've got another deal they're working on. The Miami Dolphins hosted Martin Luther King III and Bill Watchell at practice. They participated in a voter registration activity, the goal to be the first American sports team in history to have a full roster registered to vote, registered voters on your full roster. That was created through the relationship with RISE, the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equity, Equality, and Drum Major Institute. The ultimate goal is to rally professional athletes, teams, and leagues to promote civic participation in conjunction with National Voter Registration Day, which is on September 26, 2017. National Voter Registration Day is a nonpartisan initiative sponsored by the National Association of Secretaries of State. So, you know, it's funny how Mr. Ross, and he's taken his lumps over the years from people. Team not doing well, winning 6 or 7 games, all that. So he's the guy that took the heat, but he continued to stay with his goals, continued to stay with what was important with him. And while he's getting pounded by people, you know, he starts this Rise Foundation that really is created. Now it's integrated throughout the league and done this. And now he's doing all these types of things with voter registration and all the different things to really make these guys' lives better. And I think if this doesn't send a message out to you that, hey, maybe it's a good idea to vote,
right,
to register to vote and get in. And for all you guys out there protesting and pointing fingers at this and that, and I'm not going to get in any one political side or the other, but, you know, if you're out there protesting, you damn well better have been a registered
voter. At
the ballot
box, voted. That's right.
And if you weren't, you might want to do it and get it done the next time so you don't have to go out and protest things you don't like. By making your vote count. So
yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, you saw the guys, the players were exiting the building, and when they entered the building, they had the table there, and it was fun to watch those guys because they got to meet and talk with Martin Luther King III and Bill Wenchel, and you know, those guys were very influential. They came and spoke to the media after practice on Thursday, so it was cool. Guys were signing up, guys were signing their name, checking the boxes, and you know, obviously a lot of guys weren't registered to vote. So it's good that for the Miami Dolphins, the players had a chance to take care of that business on Thursday.
Yeah, good stuff. So, yeah, you know, you got not only the mini camp they got through, but they had something along the way. What do you say we get some questions here?
Yeah, John? Let's go.
All right, first one's from our man, El Chapo Jr.
Oh,
nice
he's
to have
back.
You back, El Chapo.
El Chapo's
nice
back.
Nice to get you back, digging out of that hole again. I've heard a lot of good things about wide receiver Drew Morgan, the kid from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Does he have a shot at making the team? You know, the day I was out there watching practice, from everything I've heard, he's certainly accounted well for himself. And he's a guy I think he's done enough in the OTAs and the mini camps where he's caught the coach's eye.
Yeah.
He'll get his opportunities. Now, whether he's got the goods to get the job done when they put the pads on, we'll find out. But I think he couldn't ask. I don't think he could be asked to be in a better position than he is right now after coming in.
Well, he separated a little bit, Bo, in my opinion, from some of the other guys that were playing inside the slot. Catches the football well, comes in and out of routes really well. I think the biggest thing for Drew, he's not a huge guy. He's only 6 foot, about 190 pounds. He's going to have to find a way to get off the line of scrimmage, to consistently fight off press man-to-man coverage, to get off the line of scrimmage and not lose timing with the quarterback. Yep. When that ball is ready to come out of the pocket and ready to be delivered, is he available to catch the football?
Yep.
I think that'll be the biggest thing to watch as we move now from OTAs and mandatory minicamp into training camp in July.
Yeah, if I was him, I'd be pulling a lot of tape on
Jarvis Landry.
On Jarvis Landry. And also on, you know, like
Wes Welker.
Danny Woodhead, Wes Welker,
all
Julian
those guys.
Edelman.
Yeah.
All those guys that are slot guys that have that knack for running those crossing routes and
finding the open
finding
areas.
Space, getting
that's right.
There, getting the job done and really becoming a good friend of the quarterback. If I was him, I'd spend a lot of time doing that between now and the time training camp opens up. But look, he's out there. He's made his name known. People are talking about him. So, he has an opportunity.
You know, El Chapo Jr., first good question we've heard from him in a while.
He brings in some
good
questions.
Has he? Well, you were gone. He was a little
sometimes,
sour.
Sometimes he's a little in
sour.
That, sometimes he stays down that hole a little too long.
Well, the communication doesn't come up very well.
At Defense 69, Kim, I just want to say thank you. You do a beautiful job between you, John, Sam, Joe, and everyone. Like, I think everyone here. Look, I give credit to the guys up in the back.
That's right.
Logan and Trey. Logan and Trey right now.
It's like a two-man band. That's right.
And you know what's funny? Real smooth, the show's going, right?
Well, there's not a lot of clutter back there. Everybody's communication.
Leon's not back there.
Leon's trying to steal the show. That's true.
What's going on back there? So, yeah, good stuff.
Matt's out of here.
Everybody does a good job. And, John, I got to thank you for taking over.
I had fun. It was great. I had a good time.
Reverse Spider-Man. John, who was the biggest surprise during OTAs and minicamp for you?
Biggest surprise? I would have to say Devontae Parker was right at the top of my list. I think he came out and really showed you what the potential is for a wide receiver at that size and has that speed.
Yeah.
He caught the football really well. I think the biggest stride he made was his strength to the football. I think he took away a lot of 50-50 opportunities from defensive backs, didn't matter who it was on the outside, and he was able to get to where he needed to be, catch the football, and then make a football move, eluding a would-be tackle or getting up the sidelines or moving up through the middle of the football field. So I'd say he was one of the biggest surprises for me because he got to the next level without playing a game.
Yeah.
You know, last year at this time, he was well behind where he's at right now. And health-wise, he's 100%.
And I think head-wise, I think his head is in the right place. I think he's understands what it takes to play at a high level in this league, understands the demands on your body and on your mental capabilities to play at this league. And I think he's picked that up and done a good job. And the other guy you look at and that people were just shaking their heads when I was watching was Charles Harris.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, you come out and look, he's not in pads. The offensive linemen aren't giving him the shots and doing this and that. But, he was a guy that you talked about when you drafted. He had a quick first step. Well, he certainly displayed the quick first step throughout the course of these practices. And did a lot of good things out there. Now he's got to carry it over to the next level. But he's seeking out guys. He's seeking out Cam Wake.
Yeah,
he's
Jason Taylor.
Out Jason Taylor. Yeah. He's seeking out these guys to work with. And, I think that's I'm very pleased with
you know, Bo,
that.
The one thing I noticed about Harris from the first time I saw him on the field to his last practice, you know how sometimes guys are trying to either do too much or trying to go too fast?
Yeah.
His feet didn't match his hands. I thought by the end of OTAs, his hands and his feet were working together where he was taking those two or three steps and he was already five steps in the backfield where his feet were working but his hands weren't and he was getting caught. So you could tell through studying his own self on film and getting coached the way NFL coaches are going to try to improve you from day one to day two to day 10, I think that he really made a big strides in that area.
Yeah, I also watched these because, quite frankly, to me, you know, watching these practices with guys without pads, it's tantamount to a walkthrough, basically, as far as I'm concerned. But I do watch, you can watch the wide receivers, DBs, because they're going pretty hard in their one-on-ones. But sometimes I just watch the new guys and see how they carry themselves.
Look at McMillan.
How they fit in,
You could tell right away. Tankers, he's a middle linebacker.
Yep.
You know, he can play.
Yep.
I don't care what team he went to. I don't care where you put him on the depth chart. He's going to find his way on the field.
Yeah, you look at Tankersley out there. He's got a little swagger to himself out there. And he just, they're not timid. You know,
They look like they belong.
They look like they belong. They walk right in. Harris is the same way. Now you see some of the other guys coming in there, trying to figure out things. But
Isaiah Ford,
those guys,
he started, making some plays during the end of OTAs where you kind of thought, well, he has confidence, but maybe he's a little bit timid in terms of not knowing his routes. A lot of terminology going through his head, and I think by the end of OTAs, he's one of those guys that you go, wow, that was Ford again catching the ball. Yeah. You know, he looked kind of like he could take the next step.
Yep. E-man for you, 55305. Look, I usually get some bad stuff, but I got a nice shirt.
I like that.
He gave me a nice shirt.
Stroker shirt.
Don Strock golf tournament. Yeah, I forgot to wear it out here and represent Don Strock and his golf tournament. I didn't represent so well when I played in the golf tournament. So I figured I might as well wear this
shirt. How about your trip out west? You could have used a parka, it sounds like.
You see this jacket you got on?
Yeah.
The only thing I brought out there was lighter than this jacket, if you can imagine that. And we got snow.
You saw hail, snow, sun on one hole.
I flew all the way to Northern California to get snow, hail, rain, wind, freezing cold.
We had a little bit of everything here, but no snow and no hail. It was raining, though.
It was nice to get away, though.
And good for you.
Fin Fan Fun. Dolphins could have done better building the offensive line. What do you guys think of our offensive front? Could have done better building the offensive
line. Well, I think we got a lot of guys to choose
from.
This could be the deepest the Dolphins have been with talent that can play.
Yeah.
Not guys that are just on the roster. Guys that, if they had to play week one against Tampa Bay, you could do a pretty good job of putting a decent offensive line with your eyes closed. Because these guys all have gotten experience, and they, you know, I'm not talking about Asiata.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about guys that are new to the team.
About Ted Larson.
I'm talking about Larson
like
stepping in. I'm talking about Steen stepping in. I'm talking about Jake Brandel that can come in and play.
Burbick.
You got a ton of guys that can play center guard or guard tackle with Sam Young on the outside
and have a lot of snaps under their belts.
Yes,
yeah, no doubt about it. And look, really, to me, that offensive line at this point. Really, all you're looking to do is fill that one guard role, and you got a line of guys standing there that are pretty, that have some football playing skill, battling for that. Now, the caveat and the one question that really this, a better part of this season hinges on is going to be the health of Mike Pouncey. That's the concern I've got, not about anything else about that offensive line. I think they've made the right moves. I think moving Laremy Tunsil out had to be done because that's his position. He's your future. I think Juwan James knows he has to play better. And if you get Mike Pouncey there, and I thought Bushrod,
second year at guard,
give me Bushrod again. Yeah. I liked what I saw last year
out
of him. He's a tough football player. Fill that other spot, and I think you're all right. But it's Mike Pouncey. And John, you talked about that a little bit earlier. You mentioned about Mike Pouncey not practicing, not doing anything, basically riding the bike and rehabbing during these OTAs and mini camps. And he's probably doing the same thing during the preseason. I don't think he's going to get much work, which kind of leads to the question of, Russ when he gets in there. What's his conditioning going to be like when he gets in there, football playing condition? I'm sure they're going to try to get him some work, some intense work during training camp, but not too much because they want to be 100% once the season starts. That's going to be the balancing act that Adam Gase really has to deal with between now and opening day when Tampa Bay comes to Hard Rock Stadium.
Well, it's a domino effect when you're talking about Mike Pouncey because that affects the guard position, that affects who's backing up, who's dressing on that particular day. If Mike Pouncey can come in at 100% and he gets through preseason and he gets through all the training camp practices that he's going to participate in and he's 100% come Tampa Bay week, that affects who's going to back up at guard, who's going to start at guard, quite frankly, because one of those guys would have to kick over and start at center. So you're crossing your fingers a little bit because of the history of Mike Pouncey, but you feel good looking at him now, watching him work on the side, that he looks 100%.
Well, the other thing is you're not taking any tread off the tire right now.
No,
right. That tire's resting up. So
there's no pit stops right now. No. He's in the pits.
That's right.
But he's getting some work.
That's right. Glenn Castle, 41. What's the latest on Jakeem Grant? Well, guys spent a lot of time making sure he can catch punts.
He's done a heck of a job doing it this
offseason. And there's been some conversation about incorporating him a little more in the offense. And I think that conversation comes from maybe the comfort level they have with his ability now to catch punts. No question he left too many on the field last year, but he also showed you his explosiveness and the type of package that he can deliver. And I got to give Jakeem a lot of credit. He's done a lot of work to try to get his hands ready to catch punts because he knows he's either going to make or not make this team based on his ability to catch punts. That comes down to beyond that. If he makes a team, then you get to his other stuff.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's the only way he gets considered to make the team. If he's 100% when he's on special teams and he makes himself more available as a wide receiver catching the football, I think he's come a long way, and it's to your point, a lot of hard work in the offseason. Last year, if you had asked Jakeem Grant to put a football underneath his left arm and catch a punt one-handed from Matt Dar, it wouldn't have happened on a consistent basis. No. He's been able to show that, and he's been able to catch punts with consistency through the OTAs. Now he has to take the other step and say, how can I get on the field on offense? Because he is such a weapon with his speed. He's elusive. He's a tough target to tackle because of his size. So if he can add to the wide receiver position – then and still be 100% where we need him in the return game, he's got a chance to make this team.
Yeah, he's got the skills where, look, he's a matchup guy. He's a guy you want to get matched up on somebody out there, on a linebacker, on a safety or something, and let him do what he does and get the job done. So, yeah, but again, it all comes down to he leaves three balls on the ground during spring or during preseason games, and we're not going to see him this
he's fall. Not going to get the fourth chance.
No. Periscope, what do you guys think is our number two back? Who do you think is our number two back behind J.H.I.? It's got to be Kenyon Drake. Mm-hmm. Damian Williams. I like Damian Williams. Like what he brings to the table when he gets an opportunity to play. But there's no doubt. I think Kenyon Drake is the number two guy. And I think they're expecting to see more. And boy, I tell you what, Kenyon Drake. You talk about guys in shape. Man, that guy bulked up a little bit.
He got stronger from his rookie season going into his second year. Yep. There's no doubt about it. Just as we talk about Devontae Parker taking the next step physically and mentally, I think Kenyon Drake may give you a little bit more in year number two with explosive plays, being able to get out on the perimeter. And I for one, I love Damian Williams because he practices hard. I think he's got the attention of the team. He's one of those guys that makes it a little bit more loose on the offensive and defensive side of the ball because he's not scared to talk to the telephone pole on the outside.
Well, the other thing,
so it's a good thing to have that combination.
Last year, he made the most out of his opportunities. Didn't get as many plays as a running back because these guys played a lot of special teams. But when he got the opportunity, he always seemed to make a play that
third
that
down, exactly. Move the chains, keep drives alive, make a one-handed catch, make somebody miss to get another 2 yards. That's why I like him.
And I like the running back room because look, you got three guys in there now that I think this coaching staff completely trusts.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about if I put Damian Williams in. It doesn't matter. He's going to make a play. He's going to do something positive for you. And so I think that's a good situation. Give me some more. It says OTAs and minicamp put the rookies in good position. Well, it's giving them opportunities. I like the way they handle it. I like the first weekend where they were here and they had them in the classroom, getting themselves ready. And then when the veterans came back, they went out and got in through the practices with them. I think the rookies got a good sample size. I think they got the most they could get out of this period of practice sessions that they had. Now, what they do with it between now and the fall.
Yeah, training camp.
Or in training camp, that we'll find that out when they come back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the way the rookies were not held out. They go right in with the entire football team. They don't have a rookie camp anymore where they're inviting everybody off the street and guys that are undrafted free agents. You have your team. You have your 90, and you go to practice, and you go through OTAs, and the rookies got as many reps as a Kiko Alonso or a Ryan Tannehill. They were put in their position, and they played, and they were evaluated every day, and they could learn from that evaluation.
For Shizzy, my Rizzy, if you guys were gays, what would you tell the team before they left their time off? One would be safe. Don't do anything stupid. And you better come back in shape because once that whistle blows on day one, we're going to work.
Yeah, don't take away from the hard work you put in already. This team looks really good. It looks good out on the field. It looks good on paper. I think it's the most depth I think this team has had, quality depth in a number of years. And I think the next 5 weeks, if they can continue to stay on track, that'll set them up for training camp.
Smoky Mountain Finn fan, is a facility open all the time? Do you think some players will come back early and start training? I do. I think there's probably guys.
Some guys might not leave.
Yeah, I think Monday you'll see guys back here working out. I talked about Ndamukong, and I don't know if he's going to be here go back to Oregon. I know he goes back to Oregon and works out a lot. But based on this team and based on the personality of this team, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of guys coming up. Maybe they go for a week.
Yeah, some of the veteran guys that have home somewhere else, they'll probably go back with their family, come back closer to training camp. But some of the rookies, they may only go for a week or two and then come right back to South Florida, start their training for the preseason and training camp.
I remember when we'd have time off during the offseason, especially when you're getting close to training camp, no matter where you went, you go out and run, you go out and do something. And I think most guys are the same way. Even if they go somewhere, they're going to get some workout in, and they're going to be gone long because they know they got to get intent. They got to get back to it pretty hard to get ready. Finn's fan 89. Did anyone stock rise while watching practice? We talked about Devontae Parker. Certainly, who did we talk about earlier? Drew, what's the kid from Arkansas?
Oh, Drew Morgan,
Drew Morgan, his stock rose.
There's a couple guys. Xavien Howard, yep. I thought, had a really good offseason, a good OTA. Not really, but, you know, from not seeing a whole sample size of the guy last year, I mean, when you saw him, he was on the field.
Yeah.
When you didn't, he was in the training room because he was hurt. So it was nice to see him.
But my thought was whenever I saw him on the field, I'd look at him, I'd go, you know what? That guy can play.
No, yeah, he can play.
That guy can play.
And you didn't know if it was just because he was only playing X amount of plays.
Right.
Or was he going to be able to hold up and play, you know, 4 weeks in a row or 6 weeks in a row. I love what I saw from him. Just his knack of getting his hands on the football.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of those things. You know, TJ McDonald looked really good at safety.
Yes, he did.
You know, the safety position, I think, is as good as it's been in a few years.
Boy,
Rashad's back healthy.
Especially you get to week eight, you know, when he comes back, when McDonald comes back.
And Allen looked good back there, too. I think the experience, along with Rashad, it's not going to matter what number's next to him. They're quality, and they're going to be able to play in tandem.
And you got a ton of corners out there now. And so now it's just
right guys.
Let the cream rise to the top and then go with that. John, that's going to do it, man.
All right, buddy.
Hey, I
want to
wish
you
a happy Father's Day.
Yeah, you too.
I wish everyone out there that's watching or is going to watch this a little bit later on the rebroadcast. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. Hope everything turns out well for everybody, and we'll be back on Monday. Paul Castronova.
I know.
I know
nice.
You guys out of the market don't know him, but you know one of the popular radio shows hosts in town is going to come in. We're talking a little about football.
Bring a pizza in or what? Anthony's Pizza, maybe?
Maybe a little Castronova wine. Nice. A little Anthony's Pizza.
If you get one, give me a bottle.
Chianti, maybe. Just
be nice.
You know.
Paul's tight with the wine. Give me some of that wine.
He is a little tight.
Only kidding, Paul.
All right. That's going to do it for the program. We'll catch you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Have a great Father's Day. We'll see you then.